Welcome to the Student Hour, amplifying student voices from the city of Portland and beyond. The Student Hour is produced by KBPS Broadcasting Students at Benson Tech, featuring student stories, conversations, interviews, news, and fun. Brought to you by our partners and affiliate stations. Thank you. This is the Student Hour. Welcome to this episode of the Student Hour. My name is Zara. Thanks for listening. And thanks for supporting all the stations that broadcast this show, including the Portland Public Schools radio station, AM 1450, KBPS, Portland Radio Project, KBOO Community Radio, and X-Ray Community Radio. On this episode of the Student Hour, we're excited to share some recent KBPS student projects with you. Later on in the hour, KBPS juniors and seniors will take you on a behind-the-scenes tour of the Franz Bakery. Recently, KBPS students produced podcasts about Franz. They researched information about the company's 120-year-long history, various locally produced products, their commitment to sustainability, and to their employees. Then, students went on a behind-the-scenes tour of the Franz Bakery production plant in Northeast Portland, capturing sounds of all the equipment used to make thousands of buns, donuts, and loaves of bread. We'll take a delicious dive into that coming up a bit later. But first, we'd like to celebrate February and Black History Month. Recently, KBPS seniors produced podcasts about Martin Luther King Jr. Students used related historic pieces of audio and songs to tell the story of MLK. Let's take a listen.
We all know what a microphone is, and we all know what a microphone does, but not many of us think about what the true power of a microphone is. A microphone can both literally and figuratively amplify voices. It can be used to spread a passionate message, whether it be good or evil. Not every important figure in our time used or uses one, but most have, and someone who knew the true meaning of speech and sound extremely well is Martin Luther King Jr. So, how do you set an example for how sound, speech, and words can be used? Hi, my name is Andy Ace of KBPS Portland, and that's what I'm here to talk about.
All in favor, let it be known by standing on your feet.
I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country.
Martin Luther King Jr. was born to Martin Luther King Sr. and Alberta Williams King on January 15, 1929 in Atlanta, Georgia. Later on in his life, he became the leader of Ebenezer Baptist Church, following in the footsteps of his father, Martin Luther King Sr. And beginning in the early 50s, he joined the beginnings of the Civil Rights Movement, such as participating in organizing multiple marches in the name of civil rights, and even joining the well-known 1955 Montgomery bus boycott.
All in favor, let it be known by standing on your feet.
But his work didn't stop there. Going into the 1960s, the fight continued, leading to the 1963 March on Washington, and his famous I Have a Dream speech, making a name for nonviolent protesting.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation.
And beginning a year later in 1964, the Civil Rights Movement officially began, followed by the Voting Rights Act of 1965 and the Fair Housing Act of 1968. And despite his label from the FBI as a radical and his multiple arrests, he received the Nobel Peace Prize in 1964. But unfortunately, his passion led to his death on the night of April 4th, 1968. from his room in the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee, shortly after his lesser-known I've Been to the Mountains speech. He and his entourage were booked in room 306, and Martin went to stand on the balcony, only to be assassinated by who would later be found to be James Earl Ray.
Dan Rather reporting for CBS News from New York. The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. was shot to death by an assassin late today as he stood on a balcony in Memphis, Tennessee.
While King's life wasn't exactly long, he still left an extreme impact and influence on today. Even if there are still those who go against what King and so many others like him stood for, there's no doubt that his passion and perseverance run through many today. And that really shows the power of words, passion, and a simple microphone. While action is a vital and very necessary aspect of true change, words are just as necessary, and they hold power so long as you give them meaning. Because so long as you are living, you have thoughts, and many ways to get those thoughts across. Once again, this is Andy Ace of KVPS Portland. Thank you for listening.
America is essentially a dream. It is a dream of a land where men of all races.
As today is the day we celebrate the life of Dr. Martin Luther King, and with the unrest and violence all throughout our country, we believe it's important to look at history and take his lessons to heart.
But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right.
Dr. Martin Luther King is a man who has shaped not just civil rights, but the very way we protest against injustice. Martin was raised in a Black Christian household where he witnessed a lot of discrimination against many Black individuals around his neighborhood. Over the years of his life, he became more disgusted by the discrimination and would always want to have a better future for everybody. And this fueled his desire to improve the country and make everyone truly equal. And that is partly why throughout most of his time, you'll notice that he has pushed for peaceful protests constantly, never wanting his protesters to ever resort to violence, because that would go against what he stood for. He was also very much opposed to the Vietnam War for that reason, and he spoke at a rally about it at the University of Minnesota in St. Paul on April 27th, 1967. I believe this protest is a clear example of his distaste for violence and how he always wanted everything to be peaceful.
And just as Martin Luther King fought for the rights of the many, we are currently at a point where we need to fight for the rights of many. Right now, ICE has been acting violent towards people protesting against their activities, and most of them have ended up getting tear gassed. And a total of 32 people have died in ICE custody. And ICE is holding 68,440 people, and 70% of them have no criminal convictions.
That the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who, in a period of moral crisis, maintain their neutrality. There comes a time when silence is betrayal.
Many of us have been feeling scared, not just for ourselves, but for our families. But we can't hide. We need to do what we can. I am Latino. I get scared when I see a black van or any unidentified marked car. But I have lived in the United States my whole life, and I refuse to accept the idea that the government has the right to take people by force without a trial or even a warrant. We need to stand up for ourselves, not just for the future of our country, but also for the future of the history books and articles, so that we can know that we were on the right side of history. The best thing you can do is report ICE sightings to the Portland Immigration Rights Coalition. That's the Portland Immigration Rights Coalition, 1-888-622-1510. That's 888-622-1510.
This has been Jeff and Louie with the KBPS student staff. Thank you all for listening.
15 years. That's how long it took for MLK Day to become a national holiday. I'm sure you know about the 13 years that Martin Luther King Jr. led the American Civil Rights Movement.
I have a dream
that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
But did you know about the 15-year campaign that came after the death of MLK to give the civil rights icon a national holiday in his honor? MLK Day is a large part of celebrating the memory of Martin Luther King Jr. and the massive impact he had on civil rights in the United States. From the weekend-long celebrations in Atlanta to simply learning about our country's history, people spend MLK Day in many different ways. But MLK Day didn't just start the day after Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. No, it took years of work, millions of people, and the power of music to get it signed and made into a national holiday. The journey to commemorating Martin Luther King Jr. with a national holiday started quickly after his assassination, though it wasn't quite the day after. It was, in fact, 4 days after his murder when Representative John Poyers and Senator Edward Brooke proposed a bill to Congress. The bill was to make Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday a national holiday. Though the bill didn't pass, John Poyers would start reintroducing the legislation every year. 9 years later, in 1979, on what would have been King's 50th birthday, with testimonials from Mrs. King, President Jimmy Carter backing it, and 300,000 signatures supporting the legislation, the bill came to a vote in the House. But unfortunately, it lost by 5 points. But that wouldn't be the end of MLK Day, as I'm sure you can figure out. People still wanted the bill, and that included musician Stevie Wonder. Soon, Wonder would release a song igniting more support for MLK Day than ever. This song would be Happy Birthday from his 1980 album, Hotter Than July. Happy Birthday would serve as Stevie Wonder's way of promoting Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday becoming a national holiday, and it would succeed at just that. But Wonder didn't just make the song. Though Happy Birthday did help in a massive way, Stevie Wonder also hosted the 1981 Rally for Peace press conference. Now, after the help of Stevie Wonder, the bill found itself back on the House floor, but this time having a huge 6 million signature petition behind it. The bill passed the House easily, a vote of 338-90, not even close. When it reached the Senate, though, it had more pushback, with North Carolina Senator Jesse Helms going as far as hosting a filibuster and submitting a 300-page document accusing King of having communist associations. New York Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan was not having it, though. He called the document a packet of filth, threw it on the Senate floor, then stomped on it. After 15 years of campaigning for MLK Day to be a national holiday, on November 2nd, 1983, President Ronald Reagan signed the bill into law, though reluctantly.
I would have preferred that, but since they seem bent on making it a national holiday, I believe the symbolism of that day is important enough that I'll sign that legislation when it reaches my desk.
Even though MLK Day was a national holiday, not all the states recognized it yet. In fact, it would be an additional 17 years before every state had a holiday for Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. Now, all these years later, the efforts of Coretta Scott King, Representative John Coyers, and Senator Edward Brooke, Stevie Wonder, and of course, Martin Luther King Jr., the holiday is celebrated with more enthusiasm than ever. I feel that this story shows how a message with a microphone can make real change in the world. Even just one day to celebrate someone who made great change can help people remember that change and appreciate it. I'm Grady, and thank you for listening. And for
memories. Martin Luther King Jr. was one of the most iconic leaders of the civil rights movement. He brought about change that advanced civil rights for millions of Black Americans.
But his power to change the world wasn't just about what he was saying, it was about how he was saying it. MLK was one of the greatest public speakers in history, using strong communication skills to get his message across.
I have a dream!
Dr. King was great at finding common ground. He didn't just speak to his supporters, but to the entire nation as a whole.
In the 1960s, when Dr. King was giving his most famous speeches, over 90% of America identified as Christian. Being a Baptist minister, he was able to connect to them directly, and he often used religious allusions which appealed directly to his audience.
I'm in Birmingham because injustice is here. Just as the prophets of the 8th century B.C. left their villages and carried their thus saith the Lord, and just as the Apostle Paul left his village of Tarsus and carried the gospel of Jesus Christ to the four corners of the Greco-Roman world, so am I compelled to carry the gospel of freedom.
In a letter from a Birmingham jail, he drew parallels between the civil rights movement and the struggles of persecuted early Christians. This was an especially strong choice as the letter was written directly to a group of white clergy who had criticized Dr. King's methods. And in I've Been to the Mountaintop, he talks of the Promised Land.
I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over and I've seen the Promised Land.
The Promised Land is a phrase referring to the land promised to the descendants of Abraham in the Bible. I think Dr. King compared the freedoms and rights Black Americans have been promised in the Constitution to the land that Abraham's descendants had been promised by God.
He also made connections to history by quoting the Declaration of Independence and the Emancipation Proclamation right on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. He framed civil rights as not a new demand, but as a fulfillment of American values.
50 years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation.
He even made his connection personal, connecting his goals to him being a father and his family.
I have a dream. My poor little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream.
Beyond the words he was saying, MLK's voice was also very important. He used a style common in preaching in Black churches, starting slow, like you're having a conversation with him. But as he spoke, he picked up the pace, getting faster and more intense, drawing the audience in. Dr. King also mastered repetition. He'd say lines like, I have a dream, or let freedom ring over and over again, which made his message stick and impossible to forget.
From every mountainside, let freedom ring, and if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening...
Finally, Dr. King's communication was fueled by courage. You can hear it in his voice. He wasn't just reading a script. He was speaking something he genuinely believed and was passionate about. He took definitive stances when it was dangerous to do so, and that confidence resonated with his audience. In his final speech, I've Been to the Mountaintop, given the night before he was assassinated, Dr. King spoke about his own mortality. He said he wasn't afraid. That kind of authenticity creates a connection that no amount of polished speechwriting can.
So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Dr. King's legacy proves that while ideas are the spark, communication is the fuel. He took the technology of his time, the radio and the microphone, and used it to broadcast his vision of a better future. He showed that when you combine a powerful message with the skills of connection, cadence, and courage, you don't just reach ears, you change the world.
We will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
A long time coming, but I know change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
If you want, you can find the KBPS MLK podcasts on our website, kbps.am, and click on audio.
You're listening to the Student Hour, empowering the stories, conversations, and news from students across Portland.
Several KBPS students participated in the recent nationwide action protesting immigration enforcement. Students organized classroom walkouts in an event at McDaniel High School that included music performances and speeches. KBPS Chief of Staff Elizabeth Rose went to the event as a KBPS reporter and spoke with several students about why they were taking part. Here's a portion of those interviews. If you want to read more, head to thebensonorbit.com and read our recent article covering these protests.
Okay, Pugloff, could I have your, could you spell your name for me and tell me your name?
My name is Adela Morales Moreno, A-D-E-L-A. Do you want the last name?
Last name. Okay, that way I can spell it right.
My last name is M-O-R-A-L-E-S, M-O-R-E-N-O.
Yeah. Okay, great. And what school do you go to and what grade are you in?
Benson Polytechnic High School, and I am a senior.
And what pronouns would you like me to use for you?
She, her.
Okay, great. So right now we are at, across from McDaniel High School, there are, I can't gauge exactly how many people, but there are a lot of high schoolers here. How did you hear about this?
How did I hear about this? Mostly from word of mouth and like people posting the information on their Instagram stories.
Okay, word of mouth and Instagram, that's great. Why did you decide to come?
Because it's my people and I want to support and like speak out, of course. I can't be quiet in these times.
Yeah. If you don't mind me asking, what ethnicity are you?
I am Mexican, both my parents, born and raised. I'm a Mexican citizen, I'm here.
Okay, that's awesome. How are you feeling right now?
Really, really angry and like everyone is stupid. Everyone is so stupid, so angry.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Has to fall. Brick by brick, wall by wall, this racist system has to fall. Brick by brick, wall by wall, this racist system has to fall.
If you could start by telling me your name, spelling your name for me, telling me your grade and what school you go to, and then also what pronouns you'd like me to use for you.
Yeah, my name is Mark. I go to Benson, spelled M-A-R-K, by the way. What was the other question? Sorry.
Grade and pronouns.
Yeah, I'm in 12th grade. I'm a senior, and he, him pronouns.
Okay. So how did you hear about this?
I heard about this morning when I went to school and there wasn't people there.
And why did you decide to come?
I decided to come because of the situation in this country of I don't want to allow a fascist takeover in this country. This is a democracy, and that's what it should be. I want to stand up, and I want for people to come together in defense of something we should, you know, be fighting for. I don't want a regime which alienates a few people, you know, minorities, whether that be undocumented immigrants or otherwise, for the securing of power for billionaires, you know? I feel that this country is going in a very negative direction, and I want to make a change with that.
My last question is just, how are you feeling right now?
You know, I'm feeling like when we're fighting for democracy, when there's people out here, I don't want maybe a low energy or whatever it is that's causing that to keep people from standing up and coming together for something which is really important and nearly impossible to get back once you've lost it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for speaking with me. Yeah. A police car is driving through. I don't know if they're here for this or for something else.
What radio station is this?
I am a reporter with KBPS Portland, which is the PPS radio station, and I am also working for the Benson Orbit, which is the Benson High School newspaper.
That's awesome.
All right. So first off, if anyone is willing to let me know their name and spell it for me.
I'm Alessandro. A-L-E-S-S-A-N-D-R-O. We're from the Sunrise Movement at Grant High School.
Do you mind if I ask your pronouns? And
oh,
your
yeah.
Grade
he, him. I'm a junior.
Okay. So, first off, you're from the Sunrise Movement, so were you one of the students who helped organize this?
We didn't organize this one, but we did organize bringing some people from our school to McDaniel.
That's awesome. Why did you decide to participate in this?
We decided to participate in this
free our country, free our laws, no ICE.
To build up to May Day, May 1st, the student strike, and also to support other high schoolers in Minnesota, Minneapolis right now.
Wonderful. And how are you feeling right now?
I am feeling very motivated.
That's wonderful.
I think we have a lot of movement, a lot of momentum right now, and I think we should keep that.
Great, thank you. All right, is anyone else want to go next?
I'll go.
Okay, to start, could I have your name? Could you spell it for me as well? And then could you say your pronouns, grade, and school?
I am Nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N. I use he, him pronouns, and I am an 11th grader at Grant High School.
Wonderful. So how did you hear about this?
Mainly on Instagram, I guess.
Instagram, absolutely. And how are you feeling right now?
Things are feeling very tense. Like if you hear like what's going on in Minneapolis right now, it's very tense, like almost dystopian. Like, I was on calls with people from Sunrise in Minnesota, and they were talking about just how tense the situation was there, how just people were carrying like their documents with them. And it's just absolutely terrible, and it's just terrible that our government is treating us this way.
And are you also part of the Sunrise Movement at Grant?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I am one of the leads of the Sunrise Movement.
Wonderful. What made you want to do that, or why do you participate in this?
I started the Sunrise Movement Hub at Grant High School because I feel like that, I feel like students need to have a voice in this moment because our rights are currently under attack. Like, we're under attack by the Trump administration, our communities. And I feel like as students, we need to speak up for that.
Wonderful, thank you so much. If you could start off by telling me your name, how to spell it, pronouns, and then your grade and what school you go to.
I'm Daphne, D-A-P-H-N-E. I use she, her, and they, them pronouns. I am a junior at Grant High School, and I'm affiliated with Grant High School's Sunrise Movement.
Wonderful. How did you hear about this particular event?
I heard about this from Instagram.
Instagram. And what made you want to come out and do this?
I want to come out and do this because I want to protect everyone who ICE is targeting. ICE is not fair, ICE is wrong, and they are doing horrible, horrible things, and I do not want them to be able to keep doing that, and I want to fight back in the ways that I can.
Absolutely. And in this very moment, how are you feeling?
I feel liberated because I'm happy to see so many students like me who want to make a change. I'm feeling motivated, and I'm also feeling angry, and I'm feeling angry that this is happening in the first, like that, you know, ISIS terrible actions are happening in the first place, and just angry at our current president and administration, obviously, because he's an awful man. But I'm feeling happy to be here, and I'm feeling very motivated by seeing so many amazing people.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Same starting questions, name, how do you spell it, pronouns, grade, and school, please.
My name is Moira Novak, M-O-I-R-A, N-O-V-A-K. I use they, them pronouns, and I am a sophomore at Grant High School. Is there anything I missed?
You're okay.
Okay. I heard about this through an email and WhatsApp from the Sunrise Movement. I also heard about it from my parents, who also encouraged me to come and do this.
So why did you come out here?
Because I'm afraid. I think that's fair. I think that everyone should be afraid. Our country has been taken over by a fascist government, and we need to fight back to fight for our democratic right to protest and to support our community. And our community includes all immigrants. I think the only illegal people here are murderers, and that's ICE, not the immigrants trying to find a safe home.
Absolutely. And just in this moment right now, how are you feeling?
I'm angry, I'm scared, but I'm also very uplifted and motivated by how many people are here. Last year I'd gone to a different protest, and from Grant it had only been me, my sister, and one of my friends. And it's very much different this year, having so many people who also are just as motivated and hopeful to try and fix what's going on right now.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And we'll hope this audio is usable considering how loud the chanting is. Yeah. Thank you so much. No KKK, no fascist USA. No ice. No KKK, no fascist USA. No ice. No KKK, no fascist USA. No ice. To start off, could I have your name, how to spell it?
Amani, A-M-A-N-I.
Awesome, and what pronouns do you use?
She, her.
Okay, and could you tell me your grade and what school you go to, if you
don't mind? I'm a junior, and I go to McDaniel High School.
Wonderful. How did you hear about this?
I heard about this from my friends mostly, and I saw posters around the school. So I was like, hey, let me go to this, because why not? Yeah. It's fun to support immigrants, of course. And since my mom is half Mexican, so it's a part of my culture.
Yeah, for sure. Just in this moment, being here, how do you feel right now?
I feel pretty proud, very proud here. And I'm pretty happy that a lot of people are here celebrating to trying to like stop ICE and stuff. And so I really support this event here. So yeah, that's my thoughts.
Reporting and just ask you a couple of questions. If you're willing, could you give me your name and how to spell it?
Okay, my name is Kylo, K-Y-L-O.
What are your pronouns?
He, him.
Okay. And what school do you go to and what grade are you in?
I'm in 7th grade. I go to Mount Tabor Middle School.
That's great. How did you hear about this event?
My friend gave me a flyer about it.
And why did you decide to come out today?
Because it's important to protest against ICE because the current state of our country is not, we don't all have equal rights, and that's not good.
Who are you with today?
My dad.
Your dad? Awesome. And just in this moment right now, how are you feeling?
Good, I guess. But
good.
Yeah, I don't like that we have to be protesting, but I mean, I like protesting because it's important to, and it's important to use our constitutional rights.
Absolutely. Have you been to this sort of thing before?
No.
No? Well, it's an exciting first time. Thank you so much for speaking. If we could start off with, could you tell me your name, spell it for me, and then tell me your pronouns?
My name's really long. Gael Burnley Zimmerman, G-A-E-L B-I-R-N-L-E-Y Z-I-M-M-E-R-M-A-N. He, him.
Great. And can you tell me your school and what grade you're in?
I got a Benson. I'm a sophomore.
Wonderful. How did you hear about this event?
I heard about it through Instagram. Just a lot of people posting it. And I've seen like signs about it too.
Why did you decide to come out today?
Don't like ICE. And it's just going to be like a fun little event to get together and see old people that I've never seen before in a minute. So yeah.
And just in this moment right now, how are you feeling?
Feeling pretty good. It's I don't even know how to say this, but it's like it's ICE.
Recording now. Start off, could you tell me your name, how to spell it, and your pronouns?
My name is Bodie Granger, B-O-D-H-I-G-R-A-N-G-E-R, and my pronouns are he, him.
Great, and your grade and what school you go to?
I'm in 10th grade and I go to Benson.
How did you hear about this?
I actually heard about it from my homie Gael. He was telling me about it, he got it from Instagram, and we wanted to come out and support.
Yeah. And how are you feeling right now in the moment?
Pretty good. There's a lot of people here. A lot more than I would have expected. So yeah, I'm pretty good.
Have you been to something like this before?
Like back at like the BLM protest a while ago, but not since then.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm recording again. Again, if you could start off with your name, spelling it, and your pronouns.
Okay. My name's Oscar Haslett, O-S-K-A-R-H-A-S-L-E-T-T. I use he, him pronouns.
All right, and can you tell me your school and what grade you're in?
I'm a sophomore at Benson.
Great. How did you hear about this?
I heard it through Instagram and through some of my friends from McDaniel.
And what made you want to come out?
I wanted to like support the community. It's ICE K, you know. And I just thought it was like a good movement.
Okay. And just in this moment right now, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. I think it's nice to see, you know, the community get together and it's pretty motivating for how things are going right now.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for speaking with me. So I'm recording now.
All right.
If you're comfortable, could you give me your name and how to spell it?
My name is Oscar, O-S-C-A-R, Anderson Rhodes.
Awesome. And what are your pronouns?
He, they.
Okay. Could you tell me your grade and what school you go to?
I'm 11th grade at Benson, actually. I'm actually also a KBPS major.
That's wonderful. How did you hear about this event?
Flyer. I saw a flyer in the Benson hallway.
Great. And what made you want to come out?
I really agree with the cause. I think we need ICE to shut down. We need full, total shutdown of ICE. They're doing so much just evil stuff right now in America, all around the world, especially in Minneapolis, in Portland too. We need ICE to fully shut down and stop operating.
And just in this moment, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I feel like we got so many people to come out, more than I expected, honestly. So I'm really happy that there was a great turnout, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for talking to me. So I'm recording now. If I could have you spell your name for me and say your name if you're comfortable.
My name's Opal, O-P-A-L.
And what pronouns would you like me to use?
She, they.
Okay. And what school do you go to and what grade are you in?
I go to Franklin and I'm a 9th grader.
Have you been to something like this before?
Yeah, I went to the No Kings protest.
Beautiful. And how did you hear about this event?
I have a pretty close group of friends, and we're all pretty centered in politics, so one of my friends shared the protest with the group.
Beautiful. And why do you feel it's important to do this sort of thing, or why did you want to come out?
Because there's genuinely not a positive thing that ICE is doing right now, and I think people need to hear more about it and how much it sucks. And I feel like if we aren't actively doing something against it, it's not gonna ever get better if nobody does anything. And yeah,
thank you so much. And just in this moment, how you feeling?
Kind of terrified, if I'm being honest, but I'm also hopeful because there's so many people who showed up, and I think hopefully things might get better.
Now
I am recording now. Start off, if you're comfortable sharing your name, could you share that and how to spell it?
My name's Everett Shrout. Spell my name?
Yes, please.
E-V-E-R-E-T-T-S-H-R-O-U-T.
Thank you. What are your pronouns?
He, him.
And can you tell me your school and what grade you're in?
I go to McDaniel High School and I'm in senior year.
Wonderful. So how did you hear about this event?
Yesterday it was on some Instagram stories. And I didn't think it would be honorable to skip school for it, so I thought I'd show up.
Great. And why did you want to come to this, or why did you feel it was important?
I don't know. I just wanted to be a part of, every person coming to this group adds to the group. And the more people, the better. And I think every car that's driven by has honked at everybody. And I think we're making a good impact right now.
Wonderful. And just in this moment, how are you feeling about things?
I think my sign's great. And we have our own little area here. And some people came to join us because we look kind of lonely. And all my friends are laughing at me right now, too.
That's great. Thank you. I just took a photo of two boys holding signs. One of them was Everett. The other one was...
My name is Julius Gatton.
Could you spell that for me real quick?
J-U-L-I-U-S-G-A-T-T-E-N.
And what school do you go to and what grade are you in?
I go to McDaniel High School, and I'm a senior there.
All right, so I'm recording now. First off, if you could give me your name, spell it for me, and then your pronouns.
My name is Kai, K-A-I. My pronouns are they, them.
Great. And are you a student?
I'm not a student.
Okay. How did you hear about this?
My friend also works for press. I've been wanting to come to protest more, stand up for the community. I saw it on social media, and I thought that I would join the community.
That's great. And why do you feel why did you want to come, or why do you feel like this is important?
I feel like it's really important, especially right now, for everybody to be speaking up, because otherwise nothing is going to change. I feel like it's a really good thing for everybody to stay together And just make sure that we all know that we're trying to fight for the same thing.
Thank you so much. All right, I am recording now. If you're comfortable giving me your name and how to spell it, that would be great.
First and last, or just first?
Whatever you're comfortable with.
Daisy, D-A-I-S-Y.
And what pronouns do you use?
She, her.
And what grade in school are you?
I'm a sophomore at McDaniel.
How did you hear about this event?
Well, Viola is, she's like the main person planning it. I run a club at McDaniel called Take Action. So we do a lot of like similar stuff, like activism stuff like this. So she reached out to me to help organize this.
What's your role in the Take Action Club?
I'm the student leader, founder.
And why do you feel it's important for this sort of event to happen or to be here?
Well, I think it's really important that we are able to recognize our power as students and just like as people. I feel like right now a lot of things feel very overwhelming and powerless, and so being able to come together and show solidarity and also show maybe like other people who aren't able to be here just like our support.
And just in this moment, how you feeling?
Right now? I would say I definitely feel a lot of like anger and hopelessness at what's happening right now, but also being able to see everyone come together, like how many people are here today to support this cause, is bringing me a little bit of hope.
And is your club the ones who have been putting up these signs around?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Please support the Student Hour and our affiliates. Visit their websites, sign up to volunteer, donate, and spread the word about the Student Hour. Thank you.
Okay, now it's time to enjoy some fresh baked bread as KBPS students take us on the behind-the-scenes tour of Fran's Bakery in Northeast Portland and these fun podcasts. Enjoy!
What you're hearing now is one of the ovens at the Fran's Bakery here in Portland, Oregon.
It bakes 3,024,000 buns and 140,000 English muffins daily. There's a massive conveyor belt that is hung across the ceiling called the Bun Hideaway.
Also referred to as the cooler, it carries all of the buns and English muffins on the ceiling to cool them down. They travel a total of 2 football fields, which is 720 feet for 20 minutes.
They transport roughly 17,000 buns and English muffins at any given moment. A total of 1.5 million pounds of flour is kept on the premises of the Fran's Bakery.
In addition to this, they also supply Burger King, Burgerville, Wendy's, Red Robin, and Jack in the Box with buns.
One thing that's unique about my team here at the Portland Bakery is all of the supervisors and the managers in the production department have all come up from the production floor one way or another, from rap foreman to shop foreman to tail off. We've all been promoted from within, and that creates a unique environment, and it also creates a good morale for the employees on the floor who want to advance their careers.
Caden, how was your experience at the Fran's Bakery?
Yeah, it was fun. They taught us about like their history. They showed us the highway bun thing that was like on the roof. Yeah, they showed us a lot.
Yeah. What did you think about like the whole noises and the smells and all that?
Noises were a bit loud, but overall it was pretty good.
It's kind of cool, like all the ka-chunking and the clinking and the fooshes.
Yeah, at the smells, at the start they were like just... They were just talking about, like, what Fran's is, and, yeah, and the it was in a room that just smelled like just brand new paint.
Oh, yeah, like lacquer or something like that, yeah.
But overall, the smell was actually just pretty good.
Yeah. And the flour, actually, like down in the basement when you see it going through all those pipes, the flour travels 3 city blocks, just squoopling around the whole place.
Yeah.
France, originally called France, not to be confused with France, was founded in 1906 when Engelbert France, an Austrian immigrant, bought the Ann Arbor Bakery with his two brothers, Joseph and Ignaz.
They then bought their uncle's bakery, the United States Bakery, in 1907. In 1912, the bakery on Flanders and 11th was built, the building right down the street from here at Benson.
In the 1920s, it was named the France Bakery.
Imagine yourself. You're making your toast for your morning breakfast. Or maybe you're at a barbecue on a hot summer day. Maybe you're having a ham sandwich for lunch. All of those involve bread. But do you ever wonder where your bread comes from and the process it goes through? Well, here at KBPS, we did. And so we decided to take a trip down to the Franz Bakery, right down the street. Most of us know of Franz Bakery, especially if you live in the Pacific Northwest. But what is the process that the bread goes through, and what's the history of the company? Well, it all began in 1896 with a 15-year-old Austrian immigrant, Engelbert Franz, and his uncle in United States Bakery, right here in Portland, Oregon. Later on, Joseph Franz immigrated to the United States from Austria as well to assist with the bakery in 1898. Ignaz Franz joins his brothers and uncle in 1899. The brothers purchased Ann Arbor Bakery in 1906 and also began to deliver by horse and wagon. However, in 1907, the brothers purchased their uncle's bakery officially. The rights to butternut bread were purchased in 1909, expanding the brand to the Dalles and Salem. This is also around the time that trucks began to replace horses, around 1913, and the name officially changed to Franz Bakery in 1920. Lots of new machinery was introduced to the bakeries in 1947, making them the most advanced bakeries of the time. But sadly, Engelbert passed in 1954, leaving his son as the president. In 1994, Franz purchased the Smith Cookie Company, adding cookies to their offerings, which a lot of us know very well. In 1997, Franz purchased Guy's Northwest Bakeries in Seattle, adding sourdough to their offerings as well. And Franz celebrated its official 100th anniversary in 2006. In 2017, Franz expanded to Los Angeles, California. And in 2018, Franz purchased Alpacella Bakery. Now, that's just the history, but what about the process of the bread today?
It starts in the ingredient basement, where bread is put together. Then it is sent to the fermentation room, where they will let the dough rise for several hours. Then it is formed into the desired shape and then sent into the gigantic oven. Then to the bread highways, where the bread is cooled and then packed. The bread is then loaded into the trucks and then sent to the stores, where the bread will be unloaded by forklifts and then taken and put on the shelves for you and your family to make the sandwiches and toasts you love.
Ah, the smell of fresh baked bread, a truly beautiful thing. From parents packing lunches for their kids to a fast food burger that hits just right. Bread is humanity's magnum opus, and apparently, slicing it makes humanity's best invention? I mean, modern health technology is great, but sliced bread tops it, apparently. Now then, today's topic is about bread, but more specifically, how it's made. Franz Bakery, a bakery based in Portland, Oregon that has been in service since 1906, serving buns for fast food chains such as Wendy's and Red Robin's, and those blueberry bagels that seem to always be in your pantry. Franz is everywhere. But here at KBPS Portland, we got a behind-the-scenes look at what goes on behind those glorious doors, and even some cool facts that might just pique your interest. On the KBPS excursion to the Franz Bakery, we learned a lot of things. First, they take sanitation very seriously. No piercings in the factory, no hair that isn't in a hairnet, and when you walk in, one of the first things they make you do is step on this mystery machine that sprays hot steam at your shoes to clean them. Another thing we learned is that they used the same sourdough starter since the beginnings of the business, which leads to a more developed flavor.
Hear that? I bet you never guessed what that sound is.
That's actually the sound of bread being made by the bakery right in front of our school, Franz.
My name is Zara,
And my name is Wyatt.
And today, we're going to be telling you about the history of the Franz Bakery. It all started in 1896, when Engelbert Franz immigrated to the U.S. from Austria to go work at his uncle's bakery. In 1898, his brother, Joseph Francis, joined him.
In 1906, Engelbert Joseph and their uncle, Ignaz, purchased the Ann Arbor Bakery, where bread deliveries were made in horse-drawn wagons.
In 1907, the Franz brothers saved up and acquired their uncle's bakery, the United States Bakery, at East 7th and Burnside. They made the decision to keep the name that their uncle originally gave it, the United States Bakery.
In 1912, the United States Bakery expands and the bakery at Northeast 11th in Flanders was built. They're still baking there today, and it is the home of the iconic spreading bread loaf.
Around 1913, they began to use trucks instead of horse-drawn wagons. This was also the time that Engelbert's son, Joe, was born in the living quarters above the bakery.
In 1926, Franz developed one of the first hamburger buns in history. It was made for Yaw's restaurant.
In 1947, a ton of new machinery was added to the 11th and Flanders Bakery, turning it into one of the most modern in the country.
In 1954, Engelbert Franz passed away, and the company was given to his son named Joe.
To celebrate the 50th anniversary, in 1956, Franz placed their iconic spreading bread sign on the top of their northeast location.
In 1978, Franz Bakery's 11th and Flanders location undergoes another major remodel, expanding to cover 5 city blocks.
In 1994, Franz started selling cookies, purchasing McMinnville and Oregon Smith Cookie Company. In 1997, Franz purchased Gal's Northwest Bakeries in Seattle, Washington, and sourdough breads were added to the Franz lineup.
In 2006, Franz celebrates its 100th birthday by producing a Guinness World Record-breaking hot dog bun of 104 feet and 9.5 inches.
They're trying to set a Guinness World Record for the longest hot dog bun and the longest hot dog. They got the 100-foot-long hot dog bun out of the oven just about maybe 20 minutes ago, and they have it on a long table outside the Franz building here on Northeast 12th, and now one of the bakers is patiently going down the long baking pan and slitting it in two.
Now after 120 years, Franz has expanded throughout the nation. Now they have locations in Alaska, Montana, Washington, California, Idaho, and Utah.
Unlike other companies, they've also instituted a ton of sustainability measures. They have over 300,000 pounds of plastic reduction by eliminating the inner wrap bag in their bread. My name is Zara.
And my name is Wyatt.
And that was the history of the Franz Bakery. Thanks for listening.
I'm Greeny Morgrain with breaking bread news. There's been rising traffic on the 9-grain hamburger highway in France, and it sounds like a whole loaf of things have gone sour. We'll go live to Honey Oats, who's on the scene. Oats, can you tell us more?
Well, Greeny, the crust of the matter is that things have gone awry over here on the 9-grain hamburger highway. There was a crash with a few buns being sandwiched together. And just down the highway, the buns seem to have gotten in quite the jam, and things do not look like they are getting any butter anytime soon. One such rye stander was Sunny Sesame. Mrs. Sesame, tell us what happened.
Well, I was driving to my kneading circle, we're making challah right now, and the radio was playing Bread of Life. And then all of a sudden, I heard this loud noise, this fantastic crunch sound, and I knew that was bad news. So the traffic comes to a stop, and I heard that my neighbor Joe was driving. Joe lives right around the block from me, and you know, Joe can be a little bit of a sloppy driver, and just between you and me, he might have been a little grilled. Joe can be a bit of a party animal. I really hope everyone is okay. I mean, it's really worrying.
Thank you for your time, Mrs. Sesame. Now, to get another perspective on the crash, we have Officer White.
Even though we had the speed limit posted clearly, some buns still like to speed. Now that we got proof, it seems like Joe has scored himself a sentence. That bun's always been a safety guy. There was a crunch, but you know, at least barely any bun got hurt.
White, now, traffic is backed up and barely moving up until exit 8 on the Hamburger Highway. If you have plans to travel, it might be a good idea to take the flower tube instead. Now back to you, Grainy, for the weather.
Thanks, Oats. Right now is an extra crisp 373 degrees Fahrenheit outside, and the weather is perfect for blooming flower. Tonight, we're looking at a low of 350 degrees with on and off sesame seed showers. And tomorrow will be more of the same with a high of 400 and a low of 357. Over in Burgerville, there's highs of 396 and lows of 361 degrees with clear skies all day and into the night. This has been your Breaking Bread News. I'm Grainy Morgrain, live from WHET. Thank you for listening.
Here's one of the fun facts discovered by KBPS students while researching info about France. For the 100th anniversary of France Bakery in 2006, they helped break a Guinness World Record for the world's longest hot dog. France provided the bun that was used in the world record. KBPS remembers the event well, because the KBPS Summer Sound crew did a live broadcast and live report at the scene during the event. Here's some of that fun for you to enjoy, courtesy of the KBPS Audio Archives.
Britney Spears' Toxic on AM 1450 KBPS in Portland. This is the Nate and Jacob Show. And right now on the phone, we have our general manager, Mr. Bill Cooper, live from Franz Bakery.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
We're doing all right. What's going over there at the bakery? What's going on over there?
They're trying to set a Guinness World Record for the longest hot dog bun and the longest hot dog. They got the 100-foot-long hot dog bun out of the oven just about maybe 20 minutes ago, and they have it on a long table outside the Franz building here on Northeast 12th, and now one of the bakers is patiently going down the long baking pan and slitting it in two, you know, cutting it in half so they can slide a hot dog in it. They have a 100-foot-long hot dog that was manufactured over at a meatpacking plant in Pendleton and shipped over here, and they will unroll that off a spool and put it into the hot dog, and then four judges will, including City Commissioner Dan Saltzman, Helen Raptus from Channel 2, Bruce Murdoch from K103, and Jonathan Nicholas from The Oregonian, will all certify in writing to the Guinness Book of World Records that it is indeed a continuous, unbroken, 100-foot-long hot dog bun and hot dog, and they will hold the record. And they smashed the record because the old record was only 56 feet.
Oh, ouch. Almost doubled that, didn't they? Are they going to add any, like, condiments to it, like ketchup?
No, this is strictly a plain hot dog and bun routine here. They don't want to muck it up. And then they're going to carry it across the Burnside Bridge, I believe, and down to Pioneer Courthouse Square to put it on display tomorrow, because France is going to do a big event. They're celebrating their 100th anniversary, and they're going to go down and do a big event down there tomorrow. But right now they're in the process of putting together this 100-foot-long hot dog and hot dog bun, and they just reached the end. So you may have to hear some cheering in the background. They just got the bun sliced in half, in two, so there's, you know, like a normal hot dog bun.
This is so funny.
They will start, well, it's pretty high on the goofy meter, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I know that if I weren't on air, I would be there right now watching this hot dog.
Yes.
Be placed together.
Okay, I see one of the bakers now wheeling the roll of hot dog up to the end of the bun, and they will start unrolling it and laying it into the hot dog here in the next few minutes. So it should be quite a sight to see.
This is our general manager, Bill Cooper, live down at Franz Bakery here on Northeast 12th, where they are about to put together the world's biggest hot dog.
And remember, between, what was it, Bill, 12th and Burnside?
It's closed. The street in front of Franz Bakery, starting at Flanders down for a block towards Burnside, is closed to traffic, so they can, people are out here, got quite a large crowd here this morning, so it's a lot of interest in seeing how this is all coming together.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper. We'll be getting a hold of you very soon.
Okay.
This is AM 1450 KBPS in Portland. That was our general manager, Bill Cooper, live down at Franz Bakery.
Sweet.
So, wow, the world's biggest hot dog. Yeah.
Not only that, we had Bill Cooper on the air.
Oh, yeah.
On the Nate and Jacob Show.
Oh, we are so cool.
Yeah. We are so cool.
You've been listening to the Student Hour, amplifying student voices from the city of Portland and beyond. The Student Hour is produced by KBPS broadcasting students at Benson Tech. On air since 1923, KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Thanks to our supporters, partners, and listeners like you. Full episodes of the Student Hour are available online at kbps.am.